Spain falls mostly in the plain. Sorry. For those of you who are just now tuning in, I was trying to go through all those like voice exercises you see in movies before they go on stuff. Red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather. Anyway, it's a great day. Super pumped to be here. Thanks
always,
for watching.
Always. Yeah,
thanks for listening. We got a killer cast and crew today.
All-star cast from the way I look at it.
It is an all-star. excuse me. It is an all-star cast. We got Nene, the lovely Nene.
Hello.
Always here. Single and ready to mingle, by the way. If anybody's interested, we're going to go ahead and post her Snapchat in the
Not my Snapchat.
Get rid of your Snapchat.
I have a Snapchat.
Stop.
No, stop.
Ready
no.
to mingle.
Not Snapchat. No.
No, get rid of your Snapchat. Yeah, those of you who are interested in reaching out to Nene, make sure you don't go via Snapchat. We got JJ. Still, you've been on here since you had the new do, right?
One time, yeah.
And you're not touching the mustache, right?
Never.
Good. It's a really good. It's like Banana Republic dictator kind of mustache, like that level. No, that's a huge compliment. Those guys all have killer mustaches. Every dictator from a Latin American like republic had a killer mustache.
Very well groomed.
So,
thank you.
Yeah,
I was at work and a couple walks by and the lady just goes, "My husband loves your mustache."
Yes.
Like that's the target audience.
Dude, that's awesome.
It's giving me like Legend of Zorro vibes.
Oh yeah.
Yes. So that should be your Halloween costume for this year.
I find that complimenting another man's facial hair is one of the only acceptable ways a man can compliment another man and not be weird.
Yeah.
Like a guy you don't know. I have in my life multiple times been like, dude, that is a killer beard.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a killer
beard. And that's thanks, man. I like it. Okay, Julian, we've got producer Julian here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
Working on the killer beard. This is like three years without you. Yeah, if it'll go, I just don't think it will.
You'd need a mustache for days, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
What's the space between your nose and upper lip called? Is there a name for that?
I think there is. I don't know.
I want to say cleft, but that's actually, no, that's the chin.
I've got a really skinny one, so I just have to let my mustache grow over my lip. You could just do a solid, like, up there.
Yeah, the Italian...
Yeah,
stash there, you know.
Tom Selleck, who did not sponsor this episode, which is really, really frustrating.
He tried, but he got outbid.
He couldn't. We had another one. We had another one lined up. Eat your heart out, Tom Selleck. We don't even want you to sponsor this show anymore. I think we're gonna have Jeff Goldblum here in a few minutes. He's running a little bit behind, but he's gonna be coming in. Worst case, I think he's gonna be able to like video conference or something from the car.
We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll
go,
see.
Jeff. He'll be here. He'll be here soon. What are we talking about today? Single?
Single, ready to mingle.
We do too many dating episodes.
We really do. Apparently,
single and ready to mingle.
We can talk about whatever you want.
Like whatever you want episode?
I don't care.
I want to talk. We'll start with the singleness thing, but not like how to meet. I don't know. We'll workshop that a little bit.
It's more of like what to do when you're in your season of singleness.
That's more interesting to me.
That's what we're talking about.
Not desperately like making your life revolve around desperately trying to find someone to date.
Pick me, choose me, love me.
I learned that term, pick me, pick me girl or pick me guy the other day.
Who did you learn it from?
High school students. That's where I learned all words from.
You know where they learned that from?
Nene.
No, not me. Not me.
Now, I wasn't accusing you of that because I understand it's a bad thing. I thought maybe you taught them.
No. It's from, what was it? The Love is Blind Netflix show. The current season.
We did a
I don't think we
episode.
Endorse that show.
I know. I don't think we do either, but we don't endorse The Bachelorette either. And one of my favorite shows we've ever done was just about The Bachelorette. So, did you watch Love is Blind?
I did.
We can totally talk about that. But first, we are going to pray because we are on a tight schedule. It is a beautiful afternoon here in Copenhagen, which is where we are filming live today on a Saturday afternoon in Copenhagen, Denmark.
Yeah, I forgot where we were. I was blindfolded. Because if I reveal our location, I get in trouble, and I've done it three times, so they blindfold me before we even get here.
That was a good move. I mean, once again, our corporate overlords, they wield power with it. Iron rod of just
they do
pain
they do.
And corporal punishment, but they run a tight ship, and I for one appreciate them.
Same, and that's how we've gotten Athens Catholic Radio to pick us up, and we're looking for other radio stations to pick us up. So if you are listening and you know, hey, my friend runs this radio station, reach out to us or have them reach out to us at youngadults@thequestatlanta.com. And we'll try and get this show there as well.
Does that make us like officially Georgia football fans now? Is that a rule? Do we have to pull for the Bulldogs?
Well, just by the nature of being producer Julian and a graduate of the University of Georgia, we endorse the Georgia Bulldogs.
I mean, once again, I'm happy to be a shill for the Georgia Bulldogs because we're in Athens. I just, it feels a little disingenuous. But no, if you're saying so, yes. All right, fine. Go.
Go dogs. Go dogs.
Yes, yes. All right, before we get started, can we pray? Would you guys, somebody mind praying for us?
I got it.
I was we're waiting just, like, for you, JJ. You're going to kill it. All right.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, creator of truth and all things visible and invisible, you are ever changing yet ever the same. Please ever be changing us to draw us closer to you, though keep us the same and constant in that we always love you and seek you and hopefully find you in the next life. Please guide us today and forever. Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. It's like a solid 93. No bump needed. Okay. You killed it. Yeah. It's not even an A minus. It's like an A.
Oh, really?
Solid,
like
A. Solid A.
Right? Isn't that an A?
I think so.
A minus, I feel like, is 92, 91. 92, 90.
Yeah. That would cut off.
Yeah.
There.
Then the middle, like 93, 94, 95 would be A. And then, or yeah, maybe 96, 2, and then 7, 8. Doesn't matter.
Oh, whatever.
It's great.
It's an A.
It is an A. So, just real quick, fun fact a piece. Do you have a fun fact, Julian?
I can have a fun fact, sure.
I'll throw one out, too. We're talking about something we've talked about 10,000 times today, but we do a great job every single time. So, I'm fine with kind of riffing here in the beginning. Nini, what you got for us?
You can't
talk about your dog.
I love my dogs.
Were you going to actually talk about
your dog? No, I wasn't. I decided I'm going back to school.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of crazy because I just got back from California for my cousin's wedding. I went to go visit my grandparents' grave, and I was kind of, like, thinking about it. And I went to the grave. I'm like, you know what? Like, if I should go back to school, like, grandma and grandpa, give me a sign. I kid you not, a priest came up behind us and was like, are you praying? Are you visiting? I'm like, yes, I'm visiting my grandparents. Like, I'm going to pray over them. I'm like, if that's not a sign, nice. I don't know what it is. So, went back to school.
What are you going to school for?
Business. My dad and I have been talking about it. And he's been, like, kind of encouraging me to go back to school for business because it's a good degree to have. Right. So,
yeah. Cool. I dig it.
I'm excited.
That's nice. Fantastic. Yeah. Way to go. All right. Hey. JJ, you got a fun fact?
Either I have a really small phone or really big hands. I'm not sure yet.
It is interesting because the viewers at home, they can't tell a lot of times because of perception, but JJ is 11 and a half feet tall. Yeah. JJ is enormous. Yeah.
I know. They never have a chair for me. I'm actually, this is just a cardboard cutout to look like.
Yeah. He's standing in a pit that's 10 and a half feet deep. And that's just what's sticking out over the top. No, I actually want to talk to your phone because, interesting enough, our sponsor today of Honest to God is the Light Phone. Light Phone. Can you tell us the benefits of the Light Phone? Speaking of being corporate shills, let's do that together.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Its benefit is literally that it's worse than every other phone out there, and that's exactly what you need.
Yes, it is. Unironically, it's exactly what you need.
I know. That's a funny thing. Everyone I show, they're like, oh my gosh, it's so cool. And it's literally, they're like, it's so cool because it does maybe 1/20th of what a regular phone does. But that's what most people need nowadays.
What can't it do?
It can't go on the internet. It can't go on Snapchat.
Yes.
It can't go on dating apps.
Yes.
So
good.
It makes things tough sometimes.
But you said you can GPS. You can download GPS onto it. And you can call
quote
people.
Unquote.
Can you call people?
Yeah. It actually has surprisingly good audio quality.
Sick. And like text and stuff?
You can text people. It only takes like 3 minutes of text, but
that's great.
It's worth it.
No, like I unironically could not be more all about that phone. Like
I can't.
I'm actually envious of that phone. I think that's so cool, and what a great way to help just sort of like work with self-mastery and not becoming some screen addicted loser like most of us, myself included,
people ask me what's good about it, and I'm like, literally nothing, and that's what's awesome about it.
How it's long like have you had nothing it? And everything at the same time.
Exactly. I've just been like reading recently. I don't know what the last time I've done that is, but
dude, I'm
just like read books now.
Yeah, that's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Cool. How long have you had it?
This like a month, 3 weeks, something like that.
And it's been good. Your life is like freed up and good. All right, everybody go out and pick up a Light Phone, sponsor of today's episode of Honest to God. We're going to put put something in the show notes. What's funny is the camera's not on you while you were doing all of that. I got to watch you. It was really impressive. He was doing like the sign spinning stuff.
That's just for Julian. Just for producer Julian. Stock footage of there we go.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. That's the whole reason I do this job, is so that I can see JJ doing dances with his phone.
Yeah. Dig it. You got anything, Julian? What you got?
Oh, you know what? I do. I found out recently that kangaroos can jump as far as 25 feet in one jump. 25 feet. That's longer than this room for those.
Jump. Like leap.
Leap. 20.
So I was thinking like,
No. Super cool. 25. I mean, the 25 feet.
Yeah.
That's a leap. That's a leap.
I think I could beat a kangaroo in a fight.
Okay.
I got in an argument about that the other day. I really do. I unironically think I could beat one in a fight.
If this video gets 25,000 likes,
I will 1,000% fight a kangaroo.
We will do that.
Yeah, that gauntlet is down right now. Yeah.
It has been said. So if you're listening on the air, go and smash that like button.
25,000. All right. I will have a cage match to the death with a kangaroo for 25,000.
We're going to get the animal rights folks to trigger this video like crazy. This is great.
All news is good news. We can use some controversy. Yeah, I think I could. I think I could kill a kangaroo in a fair fight. Like, and he can kick. He can kick and stuff too. Okay. But I'm allowed to fight dirty. Like, I don't have to, like, it's not like a boxing match. It's like a street fight.
Right.
And I get to pick the kangaroo. I don't want a particularly big kangaroo. I want like an average size.
I know kangaroos are actually really tough, but all I can picture is the two kangaroos from Winnie the Pooh and you just
easily. Kanga and Roo.
Yes.
Kanga and Roo.
For some reason lived in like the British forests.
Really?
Yeah, that's where Winnie the Pooh is, right? Yeah. Did you guys ever see that video of the guy in Australia, his dog?
Oh yeah,
The kangaroo grabs his dog and the guy runs up to the kangaroo and like left hook, right? And the kangaroo drops the dog and squares up like a person. They're terrifying. Yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah, Winnie the Pooh is not super accurate because every time you see it, it's just like the buffest dude, but with tall ears and they hop.
Yeah. I feel like the good news is that is the only way that Winnie the Pooh is not accurate. A lot of people don't know that. Everything else is 100% to the letter.
Exactly.
True.
Yeah. It's a National Geographic.
That's a good fun fact. I like that fact.
Thank you.
I don't have much of a fun fact. I just flew in from Pittsburgh. I got here like an hour ago. Nice.
Slay.
Had a great time.
Oh, slay. That triggers our contractual words.
Yeah.
Negotiations.
Producer?
Yes. So the assistant producer, Kateri, who is up in Connecticut, has contributed to this show for any time that we use Gen Z slang like slay. So way to slay the house down over there, Nini.
Yeah, we're trying to connect with the Utes here on Honest to God.
Since definitely, we are a young adult podcast.
Definitely
everything.
Not going to be just a horrible cringe fest of us desperately using slang incorrectly. We're going to do it. No. It's going to be great.
That would be mid.
No cap. All three of us just do that.
We did.
I like that. Right. That's good. All right. Well, as much as I would love to continue down this path, I do want to talk a little bit about singleness in general, but I don't want to talk about singleness in regards to how do I find someone to date.
No, we do that too much.
We do that all the time. And it's great. Go back. There's a whole bunch of backlog episodes you can watch on those. But I want to talk about singleness for the good that can come from singleness and from relishing singleness and not... I guess ultimately it coming down to finding your identity rooted in something, right? Ultimately Christ, but that does not involve another person. And I feel like our culture and our society does a really bad job of like making it obvious that that's an option, that you don't have to be, even in Catholic circles, right? You don't have to either be actively pursuing a religious vocation or married or desperately searching for somebody to get married. I don't know. What are y'all's thoughts? Are you both single?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to spend this entire episode trying to get JJ and Nini in a relationship. Mm. That's awkward. I shouldn't have said that.
This is interesting now.
Yeah. How the tables have turned.
So let's, do you want to speak to that a little bit? Just sort of singleness in general and what your life looks like and your thoughts on that.
Yeah. I mean, I think honestly with my single life, I've been thriving. I love it. It does get sad sometimes, but that's more of just like a moment. But like during my journey, I've honestly been listening to more audiobooks. I have been listening to more podcasts. I've been doing a lot more self-reflection. But I think my biggest takeaway that I've gained from being single is just really reconnecting with community and just being more with my family.
Right.
I think when I was trying to find somebody to be with, I was actively going on dates every single week. And then it was to a point where mom was like, I miss you. I miss our movie nights. I was like, aw, mom.
It's beautiful.
And
yeah.
I know. I love it. So now like I'm just focusing on myself and just growing to be a better person for not just myself, but for my future spouse as well. But I've been loving listening to audiobooks. I drive to work now, listen to audiobooks all the time. And it's fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I dig it.
Yeah.
What you got, JJ? What do you think?
I mean, I like the reference to future spouse, because that's a lot of, that's the main term I think of it usually. And like, I'll pray very often for like, my prayer will be my future wife if she exists.
Right.
Or future ordainer if he exists.
Mm-hmm.
To pass. But that's kind of the thing for me, is just so many people are always talking about, oh, this is surely the person God wants me to marry. And it's like, you've known this person for 2 weeks.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking maybe God wants you to grow as a person first. And that's why I've been decidedly single for so long.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like I need to be a better person before I throw all that on a random person.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And like, as I say that, I think I've gone on record on this show. I've gone on record on other shows 100 times about saying like, I'm very supportive of get married before you're ready and all of these things. I really am, right? Get married young. We push that off way too much. But I feel like that feeds into this lie that our culture sells us that says you aren't good enough, right? Your identity, your whatever, you're not where you need to be unless you're tying yourself to some other person in some way.
Yeah.
And I think that is a lie. I think our culture does de-emphasize marriage at an incredibly high rate. I think that's gross. I think we should absolutely stop doing that. But I think that we, especially as Catholics who really care about vocation and things like that, we forget that your vocation, right? If your vocation is to marriage, it's not necessarily to marriage right this moment, right? So going into the preparing yourself for your future spouse without actively trying to find your future spouse, which is something you brought up, but feel free to chime in, right? What does that look like?
Well, I mean, kind of going to what you were saying of like just this whole idea that you're not good enough unless you're tied to someone. I feel like lots of Americans view it as, oh, I need to find that one person who's going to make my life better.
Right.
And ultimately, that as a Catholic, that shouldn't be your primary goal. You're in a relationship, your primary goal should be to make that person's life better. And then knowing that they have the same goal for you, it's just both of you sacrifice for each other. So
you're saying even if you have no idea who the heck that person is right now.
Exactly. So my main thing has been just trying to, knowing how much we view marriage, where the woman is an image of the church and the man is an image of Christ, I've just been trying to find ways to love the people in my life similar to the way Christ loves.
Sure.
Which to me is just very sacrificially.
Right.
So I'm nowhere near Jesus. So the best I can come up with is like, oh, I'm going to do the dishes for my siblings, even though I hate doing the dishes.
No, that's beautiful though, right? That whole almost like practicing death to self, because we're all called to live for another person, no matter what your vocation is, right? We're all called to live for others, right? Even people who don't get married ever. They're still, no one's going to be truly happy living for themselves. Do you have anything to add to that, Nene?
I think that I love when that you said that, like, I don't like doing dishes, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's just like such a selfless thing to do. And I think that for like, when you are looking, like not even looking, but like when you are preparing for your future spouse, I think it's a lot of like, you have so much work to do for yourself before you are ready for your future spouse. And I think that I always remind myself that I'm not on a timeline. Like when my time to get married will come, like God will go ahead and provide that for me. And when I remind myself that like, whenever I am lonely, I'm sad, I go ahead and do a 90 novena to St. Joseph to kind of just like relax me and calm me down a little bit. Cause I'm just like, I have so much stuff to work on before I do find my spouse, and I can't fully be with him until I am content with where I'm at in my life and everything. It's nice to be prepared, like to prepare yourself for your future.
Totally.
Yeah.
I like how you mentioned the being sad part, because that's so real.
And we can so dig into that. Yeah.
Like it, so many people cannot be single at all. So many people can, but they always have to do it in context of, I'm doing this because this is the only thing I want, and I'm never sad about it, and I'm never lonely.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think the best way is that it is okay to be sad. Like, I am at a point in my life to where all my friends are getting married. I'm in 2 weddings next year for to my closest friends. And I just got back from a wedding. I have another one in September. So like everyone's getting married and engaged. I'm just like, I can't wait for that to happen to me.
Right.
And yeah, I get sad about it every now and then. But I'm just like, God will provide whenever the time is meant to be. And I just have to be patient and trust in his plan. I have trust issues, but you know what? Like whatever he has planned for me is going to be the best thing as long as I am patient with it.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm really glad y'all both brought that up from the emotional, because like a lot of things, we tend to like intellectualize these things, which is great. Like, good. I mean, it's correct, right? You are not going to be unfulfilled as a human being, right? If you're not dating somebody right now, or you're not married, or you shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
But that has nothing to do with how you feel about it, right? Yeah. And feelings, right, are neither bad nor good. They are, right? You're not your feelings, and how you react to those feelings matters. And I think that is also exacerbated once again by sort of a broken culture that is, I think, really trying to sell the lie to everybody, regardless of their station in life, that they are not enough in and of themselves, which for the record, you're not, but you are when you have an identity rooted in Christ. So why is that, right? Why do we as Western men and women, or why does our society, why does our culture feel, make us feel so compelled to kind of put our identity in something like that, right? Be it relationships, be it whatever.
I think like for girls and women in general, I think that sometimes we want our fairy tale ending. We want our Prince Charming. We want our knight in shining armor to come in and swoop us off our feet. But I think like we're so swept up in that idea of that fairy tale love and everything, like, yeah, it's out there, but I think that we're just sometimes so impatient and we just want that immediately. And I think society nowadays, like TV and everything, is just like, wow, like they make it look so great on camera, but like realistically it's not that great. I think that we're so focused and honed in on we want that love story when we're not really focusing on ourselves and growing as like a person. I think we just want this and we're impatient for it.
I don't even think we really want that love story, if we're being honest. I don't think we actually, I think most people are saying we want that love story. What they're saying is, I want to feel those feelings and feel happy and bubbly, right?
We want to fill that void that we have, that should be filled with other things.
Let me fill this hole in my heart with something, as opposed to, because if you really want a love story, then what you want, going back to what you were saying earlier, is I want to die to myself and be miserable in a lot of ways for the sake of another, because I love them enough to do that, because we're working towards this common goal that's heaven. And I mean, we can get into the whole distorted view of love we have in our society now, but I think that that's almost a greater lie, not just that you need to be in love, but you have people saying you need to be in love who have no idea what love is or what love means or what it looks like.
Yeah. We have this void, I think, that like, for again, for women, like we want that attention. We want to feel validated. I think that personally, like when I was younger, I was like, I need a boyfriend. I want to be in a relationship. I want someone to be obsessed with me. And now that I'm old, I'm just like, I will be patient and I will wait.
Yeah.
Because it's just, as you get older, you're just a little bit more picky with who you spend your time with. And that's perfectly fine too. But
and I think that's a naturally really good desire.
Yeah.
Right. To like, I want to share my life with someone. I want to be with someone. When I was 15 years old, I was getting in all kinds of trouble and with the police and with everything, making
the
a lot
cartel.
Of yeah, yeah. No, not necessarily, but making a lot of really bad decisions that were directly harmful to my ability to be a man and be a husband one day. Mm-hmm. Right. I still, if I were honest with myself, I remember thinking about this late at night one time after making some really bad decisions. Like, I really just want to be a dad. I want to be good. I want to be virtuous. I want to be the kind of man that is worthy of having a wife and a family. And that's a really good desire that, once again, just gets so distorted.
Mm-hmm.
Julie, we've got a couple minutes before break. You got any thoughts before we
move over? One of the things that Nini said that I really would like to kind of chime into more is community. And, you know, John Henry and I, we both met our spouses. We were living in community, John Henry and I, and our spouses. And
there were other people there, too.
There was a lot of people. Yeah, a community of over 200 and something. And obviously, nobody can just dive into that style of living like we had. But I think that there's something to really dive into with community and how to find a spouse, hopefully, in a community like that. And I'd like to dig into that. But that's kind of like where I'm at for where we're going to throw things in the second half here.
Yeah, no, fantastic. I think there's a, I think it's a, I think it's a bigger topic than we realize, and we've already kind of gone down those rabbit holes on love and all of these things, but I think it comes back to what so much stuff comes back to on the show, which is we live in a secular modernist world that is not in line with what is true, right? That is so counter to our nature, right? To your nature as a woman, your mm-hmm. nature as a man, right? And right, the nature of community, the nature of, mm-hmm. of love, the purpose of marriage, and all of these things. I was listening to a podcast from on my way from the airport to here, and it was Matt Walsh, who was interviewing a divorce lawyer. You heard this? Have I heard this one?
I heard about it. I haven't turned it on yet, but I have heard about it, and I would like to listen to it.
It was excellent. And the divorce lawyer was actually much more thoughtful than you would think, right? Mm-hmm. At least I'm usually guilty of like viewing divorce lawyers as like if you a lot of lawyers, nothing personal. As sort of
there's no lawyers here.
blood sucking scavengers, right? People who want to tear down these beautiful things for the sake of profit. But he made some really interesting points, and there is a big. This is something I definitely want to talk about in a minute. There's this big anti-marriage, anti-commitment thing that's happening right now. My favorite person to crap on the show, Andrew Tate, right, is just one of a thousand different examples. What they're saying is terrible, but on the other hand, it's almost not their fault to a degree because our culture is so destroyed, distorted, all these really beautiful, good things that we're made for.
Yeah, we are made for it. And it is sad that there's a lot of lawyers out there, divorce lawyers specifically, that are after just, okay, how can we go after the spouse and just get as much out of this as possible and squeeze them for all their resources. But mm-hmm. there's some that can actually try and come up with some sort of, cohesion between the two and work to resolve something that is completely broken.
Yeah,
but that's not really what this episode is about, and we should
totally do a divorce episode.
That'd
be really open to that.
Could be a good idea because that's something that people do experience on a regular basis. Yeah.
All right. So, any last thoughts? We got like 30 seconds before we go to break. All right. Well, in the next, while you're listening to these commercials for our other wonderful sponsors, make sure you go and pick up yourself a Light Phone. Sponsored by our very own, can we get the camera on JJ? Push it in. Yeah. Light Phone, sponsored by our own JJ, the man with the mustache and the good hair over there by Nini. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We will be right back. This is Honest to God, a production of AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Hey guys, for the past 500 years or so, the church has outlawed selling indulgences, which hopefully means that you've got some spare cash laying around. If you're looking to tithe, we here at Honest to God would really encourage you to run over and donate to The Quest Atlanta. You can do that on thequestatlanta.com. Thank you so much for all of your support. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Super pumped to be here. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We got the same crew. Solid killer. We got Nini.
The OGs.
Yeah, the OGs. We got JJ. You guys really are kind of.
We are the OGs.
Yeah. Yep, we got producer Julian. Tickling
yep,
keys. Here.
Yep. Fixing problems, putting out fires. If you are watching the YouTube, we apologize for the messed up technical difficulties, but we are working it here and thanks for watching.
No, producer Julian, you're doing it wrong. I learned from a lot of over steroided fellows that the best way to be successful is to literally never apologize for anything. We're glad that the first half of this video was frozen on YouTube. We're glad it happened. We wanted that to happen. This is definitely the way that you should act. Nini is over there supporting what I'm saying.
I'm vetoing it. Thumbs down. Yeah, down.
That's actually fair. And if this were an episode about masculinity or dating, that would be a great caricature of what not to do, mm-hmm. but it's not. It is a show about singleness.
Yes. Sounds like some advice Andrew Tate would give, though, for sure. Don't apologize for anything.
We're going to see if we can have him on the show.
Oh, we should.
Yeah. I don't know how that'll work out. Is Jeff here yet?
He texted me and Atlanta traffic got him again.
All right. We'll get him here in a minute. We got like 25 minutes left. Yeah. He'll show up before the end. He will. And big shout out as always to, the empty nothingness of warm, that is neither warm nor hot, neither bright nor dark, but absorbs all that is. To my right, Show Notes Benny, back in studio today, always doing a great job. Thanks so much, Show Notes Benny, taking the notes, especially notes about the Light Phone. the light phone. Go pick yours out today. Jada, you got it? Okay, it's fine. You don't have to pull it out. You don't have to pull it out again. It's okay.
We were ready with the camera that time, but
I know. Yeah. Yeah, it actually was. Like it was ready to go to you right away.
I meant to not have it ready.
I want to nice. Yeah, just keep it.
Don't apologize.
Don't give them what they want. That's another valuable lesson.
Exactly. For dating and singing.
Also not true. None of this is true. We should do an episode that is just how not to behave, and it's just us being jerks the entire time in ways that are very common amongst entitled millennials and Gen Zs.
I like it. We'll schedule it for opposite day.
That'd be fun.
Be the does anybody know when it is? Old adult Protestant.
Write that down. That's actually not bad.
Okay, dishonest to God on opposite day. So we left off with some things that I really want to get into, and then you said you wanted to rant about this. So I want to tee that up a little bit for you. I was having a conversation recently about there's a girl named Pearl Davis, I think is her name. I'd never heard of her, but I looked her up while I was sitting in the airport lounge. Yeah. And she is one of these quote unquote red pilled sort of anti-feminists, whatever. And you know, for the record, I want to make it really clear that when I say anti-feminist, that is a compliment. I think that feminism, third wave in particular, has done more damage to the Western world than just about anything else, except for the Enlightenment and the French Revolution and the Protestant Reformation and Adam and Eve eating the apple in the garden. But it's really bad. That's what I'm saying. And she is on this. I guess if I could just sort of summarize her message in general, it is men should not get married. Marriage is bad for men because the cards are stacked against them. We live in a legal environment. There is some truth. There's always some kernel of truth to this, right? We're in a legal environment where if JJ marries Mrs. JJ and they get a divorce after 5 years, JJ is in hot water. He's at a disadvantage across the board, everything with kids to financial settlements and all of those things. And so she's saying that you should never get married. I don't know. What are the thoughts on that? I have some, but I talk too much.
I think it's just another example of how everything's messed up, and just divorce in this country is the norm now.
Yes. Yeah.
But it hasn't been the norm long enough for them to work out the kinks, but they're never going to because it doesn't make sense.
Right.
It's all these people who are getting married and promising forever, and then it turns out neither one of them's willing to do the dishes, and one of them always forgets to pick their towel up off the floor.
That felt like a personal attack.
Yeah. Mrs. Fan said,
on the light phone, she texted you.
On the light phone, she said, please bring up dishes.
So wait, what do you say? You're talking about divorce in particular? Is that what you're...
Yeah. Yeah, really. I just want to rant about divorce, to be honest.
No, well, I mean, this is something that... That I'm on fairly regularly, but for the record, when we're talking about divorce, we're talking about the dissolution of a civil arrangement that our government calls marriage, that has absolutely nothing to do with what is actual marriage, right? If both of you were married in a courthouse somewhere, you would still be single, right?
Yeah.
Laws have nothing to do with reality, unfortunately, a lot of the time, right? In terms of moral reality. And no, I think there's actually a lot to be said for that in that direction, that not just divorce in our country, but marriage as an institution in our country is almost, from a legal standpoint, just a joke. It's just nonsense.
Yeah, it boasted tax benefits, but now there's not really even as much of that.
Yeah, I keep missing those every year when I'm in Texas. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like tax benefits was the one reason to do it in the courthouse. And
right.
Now even that's out the window.
Yeah, I am curious about if, I mean, you see, I don't have the stats in front of me or anything, but there is a sort of a massive movement culturally right now that probably, not that probably, that definitely impacts everyone who is single, regardless of whether or not they as an individual are trying to do it the right way, right? Or saying, I want to get married. I feel like that's my vocation. I want to fulfill my vocation, find a spouse. I want to love and honor them all the days of my life, bring children into this world and have the, like, do what I'm supposed to do. But we have a culture that is so hostile to the idea of getting married that the pool of people who might be interested in doing that is a lot smaller. So here's a question to both of you. Do you feel like, or in what way, right, has just sort of the degradation of morality affected your relationship status? What I mean by that is, do you think the fact that the dating pool has just been so diluted and toxified by sin and rot that it's a lot harder to find somebody to be in a relationship with?
Yikes. Oh my God. Ugh.
And then give us specific stories with names.
Names, no, social security number, everything. Yeah, honestly, yes and no. I think it really depends on what that person's looking for. I've met some pretty solid guys in the dating pool that know exactly what they want, and just things didn't line up for whatever reason. And I've met some pretty interesting guys in the dating pool.
What percentage of the guys in the dating pool, in your experience, are just trying to have sex with you? Roughly.
Probably a good like 75%.
That's disgusting. It's awful. I'm really sorry.
I'm really sorry.
That is awful.
Oh, like, it gives me such the ick. Like, now, like, I'm... Like I said, I love being single. I enjoy it. Going on dates is just now tiring because it's just that because you have to go on at least two dates. Like the first date is like that getting to know
you. Are you literally a serial killer date?
Yes, yeah, it's like getting to know you. The second date, because like you can be really shy on the first date, and then it kind of gives you like the weird vibe. So the second date is really more of like you have your comfort zone.
Right.
So you really get to know the person on the second date. So that's already two days that I'm wasting on like getting ready. And my time is very valuable, honestly. I like being at home.
The Bachelorette's not going to watch itself.
Exactly.
did you say that on air? Because otherwise that seemed like a really mean joke.
No, I didn't.
Okay, I'm sorry. She's talking about how much she liked The Bachelorette off air.
I love The Bachelorette.
For no reason.
It's my guilty pleasure show. But regardless, it's just icky. The dating pool is so thin. But there are some solid guys in the dating pool. It's just my godmother always says that you have to kiss your frogs before you meet your prince.
Right.
So.
Question for those who have been on dates recently. How awkward is it if you run into a friend when you're on a date? I kid you not. I recently, actually twice in the same spot on different days, mm-hmm. I ran into two people. Well, I think the other one was on a date, but that were on dates. I just want to know, is that awkward for either of you? Has that ever happened to either of you? I am asking questions that I know the answer to, but.
I make sure to date people in Tennessee exclusively.
Oh, there you go.
That's actually really smart.
That's a smart idea.
Yeah. Always date in different states.
That's terrible advice for the record. All right.
I don't know. I think it's nice running people that you know on, like when, for example, I was on a date and Julian was just coincidentally at the same place. Nice. So let's say that my date did not work out. I was just really getting weird vibes. I could have texted Julian and be like, SOS, and come to the rescue.
I was prepared for it, that just didn't happen. Yeah.
It was a good date for the most part.
Right.
So, I mean, I think it wouldn't be. It's only awkward if you make it awkward.
Okay. So that actually, you're telling me that brought you some comfort that I was there.
It really did, because I was kind of anxious. I'm a very confident person. I get kind of anxious on first dates because it's just like, am I going to like this person? Are we going to vibe? Like, how's it going to go? It's going to be awkward. So knowing I have like a scapegoat, be like, oh, wow, my friend's over there. He needs help studying. If I need a scapegoat, I'm like, he needs help studying. Like, I'm going to go help him real quick. He just texted me. So, yeah.
That's exactly why I was there, too.
It really was. Yeah.
And then I went back there not 4 days later and ran into somebody else on a date.
Same place?
Same exact
that
place.
Is a, were they that
also,
is a date
also from Honest to God?
Oh, no way.
But we will not say the name. If they want to come on and say their name, they can. But
JJ, from a male perspective, though, sort of the same question. Obviously, right, because Shock of Shocks, men and women are different. I assume you're not dealing with a constant barrage of women trying to sleep with you.
No.
That being said, do you think that what has been the effect of sort of moral decay, do you think, on the dating pool for you as a guy who's trying to be a good human being who understands the purpose of dating, which is marriage tryouts, right? Yeah. What's the effect been?
To be honest, I'm in kind of the uncomfortable position where I'm never going to assume someone is one way or another, but just statistically guessing that any given person I see is probably not a good person to date.
Yeah, that's sad.
It's kind of a...
I think that makes sense, but it's sad.
Yeah, it's... I feel like in the past it was probably innocent until proven guilty thing, but right. Now it's guilty until proven innocent.
Oh.
I'm assuming that person's probably has different beliefs, probably is completely irreconcilably different from me.
Right.
And I have to wait until I happen to know a person better for a different reason to be like, oh, they don't believe in all the different things. They don't worship right. Satan. Okay, cool.
Well, that's a pitfall of sort of our modern super connected world too, right? It's like back in the day, you lived in your town. Your town had 2,000 people in it. Of those 2,000 people, there were 150 girls who were around your age and were single. They all shared pretty similar beliefs, and you all sort of had the same background and the same cultural identity. And now that's all been washed away, right? It's drinking from a fire hose. I mean, Tinder, not to go off on Tinder again, but here I go. It's just a disgusting feeding trough of hedonism, right? But it's not just Tinder. It's other humans when you're running around and you're single trying to find somebody who you're interested in. Mm-hmm. It's the variety is almost a detriment because you know nothing about them other than that they probably ascribe to some vague American relativistic nothingness.
Mm. Gross. They're spiritual, but not religious.
Right. Whatever the heck that means. Yeah.
Like everyone in America.
So sort of a follow-up on that, and this is a little... Don't let this feel pointed at anybody. I think it's going to sound harsher than I mean it to say. How do you guys as individuals living in this culture sort of hold on to your faith and your morals? How do you not just sort of wallow in sin, right? The sin of sleeping around or doing things that are not sleeping around, but might as well be, or pornography addiction, or falling into the 1,000 different moral pitfalls that exist right now?
I think for me personally, I have phone calls to my godmother whenever I am struggling a little bit. And my godmother is my best friend.
That's beautiful.
I love so talking great. To her. I just saw her a few weeks ago. And we actually had a phone call the other day about how I was, like, she asked me how I was at the wedding. I was like, honestly, like, I was like, I'm honest. Like, I was a little bit sad. I felt super lonely. And me and her had a whole entire conversation about, you know, like, my time will come. And now, like, we're holding each other accountable. And we're doing a little prayer to Mother Mary every single night before bed now. Like, there's a 3-hour difference between me and her because she lives in California. But we do, like, a little, like, prayer before bed for each other and for my future spouse. And it's hard. Like, I'll be honest, like, I do struggle with, like, with being lonely all the time. And
yeah, but that's because you're a person. Like, I just want to say that.
It's human nature.
It's not because there's anything wrong with you. It's because you're a human being. Nature. Yeah.
I think that I have an accountability partner. And then I journal, I self-reflect. And then I will say whenever I am just feeling, like, very weak at the knees, I'm just like, I feel I'm going to fall into the sin. I go, I'm like, boom, cool. My 9-day novena starts today then. And I feel better after 9 days. So I do it more. I probably do, like, this novena, like, once every single month, honestly. Great. And it's great. And awesome. There's no shame in doing this novena. It's great.
I love that. What about you, JJ? You have any thoughts?
I mean, for me, the reason I've been kind of avoiding dating so much is precisely because I wonder if I was in the dating pool, would I fall into those pitfalls?
Right.
And I know for me, I have such a clear idea of if I'm dating someone, I want to be the person who's making sure it's the type of relationship where it upholds her honor.
Right.
I don't want that to have to be her job. I want to be the type of person that whoever I'm in a relationship with, everyone's like, oh, she's so lovely. She's so respectable. She's so dignified. And that I just add to that. And because I'm not sure if I'd be that type of person yet.
Right.
That's why I'm focusing on kind of just trying to avoid all the things you're talking about.
Yeah, so. I loved what you were saying earlier, like, work on self-mastery and everything now.
Exactly.
I got married when I was 21 years old. I haven't had a new girlfriend since I was 19. And still, just from that short amount of time, right, when I was single in high school and college, the number of bad habits and bad mindsets and just ways of thinking about myself and other people still brought a lot of baggage into our marriage. And that was not great. I think that's a super mature way to go about it. What about you, Joel?
Yeah, sure. Why not? One of the ways that I like to approach marriage, and I don't know, maybe this is a little narcissistic, but I like to make my spouse the luckiest woman in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just be the prize for her that she feels like that she is one, whether it means, and, you know, I could say this and she'll go, oh, yeah, right. But whether that means, you know, doing the dishes when you can, or just offering to help and just being as best as you can with the children, or just being on all the time, even when you don't want to be or when you're tired, just being the prize is huge. And I think it makes a big difference in marriage and in relationships in general.
Mm-hmm. I like
that's
that.
Kind of where I'm at.
We have a few minutes left, and one thing I want to make sure we get to before we go over to popsicle sticks is advice. And I want everybody into the room that does have a corporeal body and exists in this plane of reality. So she knows Benny's out. But everybody in this room who falls under that criteria, to give a piece of advice, not dating advice, okay, to people who are single right now. Not how to find somebody else. I want to move away from the idea that, no, you're never going to really be rooted in anything until you're married to somebody. No, you're never going to be rooted in anything until you're rooted in Christ, right? That is a fact.
Yeah.
But what advice would you give people who are single right now?
I'd say just focus on love purely the way Christ does it. It's obviously, Paul says faith, hope, and charity, and out of all of these, the greatest is love. And just more and more, you realize that is kind of the only virtue is love, and all the other virtues just flow from it.
Sure.
And love makes you excited to do hard things for people you care about.
Oh, I love that.
And I want to say this too. That love, once again, is a movement of the will. And so even if you're not feeling it, if you're not getting the benefits of feeling, right, good when you do chores for your siblings or you help your parents with this or you help your friend move, right? Yeah. Even if it doesn't feel good, it doesn't matter. It's good. And you will feel good at some point, but don't rely on the feeling, right? Love is done for its own sake, not for the sake of how you feel. And it's a muscle you have to work out.
Yeah.
And my love muscles are still weak. I need to work on love. Yeah.
I was told to invest in Bitcoin.
Wait, that's your advice to single people, is to invest in Bitcoin?
I was told to say that. No. In all honesty.
Do you have anything like better?
I do, actually.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
I think if this is something that I wish someone would told me, would be there's no timeline. Like, you are not in a timeline of events. You are on your own journey. You don't have to be married at a certain time, at a certain age. You don't have to have kids at a certain age. I think that focusing on yourself and your growth and your journey is going to be the best thing that you have for yourself. So enjoy the moments that you have, because once it's gone, it's gone. Like, I love thinking that it's from Kung Fu Panda. It's like, yesterday was a mystery,
Yesterday was history. Tomorrow is a mystery.
But today's a gift.
Did Kung Fu Panda say that?
Yes, himself?
That's why it's called the present.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, that's why it's called. Oh, I get it. Yeah. That's
Kung Fu Panda.
And I'm not sure what I would say. I think it's a combination of a lot of things you guys have said. I think a big part of it is, number one, just practically speaking, pray for your future spouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Write letters to your future spouse. One of the greatest gifts I ever got was letters that my wife had written to me from way before she even knew me, right? Like, it's the best thing in the world. But also start being the kind of person that your future spouse deserves to marry, which is really hard, and you're going to fail at it, right? We all fail at it. I failed at it. I still fail at that all the time, right? I've never been the man that my wife deserves, but I'm slowly getting better. And I wish I had started a whole heck of a lot earlier than I had. That cliche thing I say on like every other episode of the show, imagine yourself when you're fulfilling your vocation, whatever that vocation happens to be, right? Probably marriage. So walking down that aisle in that white dress or standing at that altar in that black suit, imagine yourself right there and the things that you want yourself to have done and not to have done, and the virtues you want to have fostered and the sins you want to have moved past and the habits you want to have overcome, and start like yesterday. Do it right now, right this minute, whatever it needs to be, no matter how radical it needs to be.
All right. And then I'll go into my little producer Julian rant.
Sure.
I'll start by saying, look at the person that you're with as if they are, because they are the most beautiful person that you've ever seen.
They're
in your
single
life.
Right now, though.
And they are single right now. That's fine. But use eye contact with everybody. Don't just, not just with the person that you're with. Practice eye contact everywhere you go. Because when you get married, if you're able to have eye contact that well, it will pay amazing dividends. And you will be able to reflect how much you love that person through your eyes. Your eyes speak much louder than your mouth or anything else, or if you're Italian, your hands. But yes, so maintain good and practice good eye contact with, I don't care if it's the person at the store or whatever. But quick, producer Julian Ray, we're trying a new segment here, and let us know what you think in the comments. But one thing that's been bothering me lately is our, I'm not going to call them global leaders, but our professional leaders, that you know, the Zuckerbergs, the Jobs, the even Elon Musk and everything like that. None of them wear suits. And I'm, you know, I'm not wearing a suit right now, but where is the nice professional?
Wait, is this anything with the topic, or you just wanted to?
No, this is a rant. Oh. This we're trying it out. I don't know if it's going to work.
This sounds good.
Yeah. So where are the suits? Where is the professionalism of our essential business leaders? You're not seeing it, and it's really sad to me. And I want to see just bring back the gentleman look of men. You know, walking down the sidewalk during the day, I hardly ever see men in suits. That makes me really sad. I want to see it. And then to close out real quick, you know, we've talked a lot today about community. So if you are really interested in joining the Honest to God ministry, we have that to offer. We have community and discipleship. As Nini said, we ran into each other and she was on a date, and I was able to help her feel safe. And we've hung out outside of here. I've maintained and built friendships and rebuilt friendships just through this ministry. We also can offer you the opportunity to grow spiritually and in your faith, as well as skills development or professional experience. You know, if you're interested in marketing or AV editing or hospitality, or even just want to be on air and practice, check us out. Youngadults@thequestatlanta.com. All right, we're going to go into loaded questions now.
Loaded questions.
Back to John Henry.
Oh, do it me first? Cool. I'll go first. Oh. What is your favorite musician or band? This is a really good question. I'm going to go with, because I think this is the person whose stuff I've listened to more than anybody else, Weird Al Yankovic. I'm actually a big fan. Mm. I've seen him in concert. I like Weird Al a lot. Since I was a kid. Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a lot of people in concert. Hands down, the best musician I've ever seen in concert. Like, there might be people whose music I like better, but in terms of, if the question is, or musician, he's my favorite musician.
He's the arguably most well-known accordion player in a very specific genre.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He is. Yeah, he's fantastic. I used to have him on cassette tape.
Nice. Back in the day.
Yep. Nini, what you got?
Nini.
I'm going to go with, what is the most exciting movie you have ever seen?
Great question.
I'm going to be judged so hard for this.
The Bachelorette, the movie.
There's no movie for that. Yeah. It's Mulan.
Oh, I like That's Mulan.
I love Mulan.
Girl, she's my favorite Disney princess.
I love Mulan. And people say, is it because you're Asian? I'm like, no, it's just a good movie.
Why would you assume That's that?
Why would you assume that?
Well, I don't see color, Nini, so I had no idea you were Asian until right now.
Great.
I didn't even know Mulan was Asian.
Yeah, I didn't know Mulan was Asian either.
Love
I
thought
this. She was just a woman.
I thought it was set this. In Kentucky the whole time.
I just love
I actually
movie.
Really, really like Mulan.
Listen, that whole entire soundtrack should not have gone hard, but it did. It's in my workout playlist.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, it is.
I could literally sing all of the Let's Get Down to Business song Right now, like 100%. I'm not going to, but I could.
That's my cardio song.
Yeah. It's really good. All right. What you got, JJ?
What would make you the luckiest person? Earlier in the episode, Julian says he strives to make his spouse the luckiest person. So I suppose being Julian's spouse, but I don't think that works with my belief system.
No, I don't think you can do that.
So I think I just have to resign myself to not being the luckiest person.
Neither Honest to God nor the Light Phone endorses that opinion.
Or his wife.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, well. Julian, you're closing us out.
Yeah, that's a hard one to follow. If you were king or queen, whom would you want as your loyal servant? But my question is, does this person have to be alive?
I don't know. It's up to Nini.
Nini, does my loyal servant have to be alive presently?
Does it be somebody alive or somebody who's dead? Can it be somebody who's dead or not?
I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no. They does not have to be alive. Well, then that's very simple. It would be St. Thomas More. That's who I want as my loyal servant. Because to be honest, I think whoever is next to the king or queen, the one down, is really the one that's in charge. The king or queen's just a figurehead. And I think St. Thomas More really ran that place well until the king decided that he wanted to do it his own way. And
that's a thoughtful answer.
Yeah.
Mine would be Andre the Giant.
Andre the Giant?
Yeah.
If I had to pick an alive person, it would actually be Janice Gibbons, because that woman is more connected and can get anything done, whether it's prayer or anything like that.
I would have a hard time because I don't think I'm physically capable of telling Janice what to do. Like, I would just ask her, like, what do I do? And then she would run the whole kingdom and it would defeat the whole purpose of me. Yeah. Homegirl, like, handles business. I'm
a
fan.
She does.
All right, guys. This was so much fun. I really appreciate y'all coming in. Nene, JJ, y'all are awesome. Producer Julian, man, keys were tickled.
Keys were.
All right, guys. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This has been Honest to God, a production of AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Producer Julian.
Signing off.
Over and out.